This is Stacey Caldwell interviewing Helen Gorton about San Diego State in the 1930s. Today's date is March 23rd, 1992. Okay. Well, this is Gorton. Why don't we start first by, why don't you just tell me a little about yourself?
Well, I was born in San Diego, and in fact, the San Diego Normal School was at El Cajon and Park Boulevard, and my father bought a home not far from the college, thinking that I would be very close to the college when the time came for me to go to college. But they moved the college out to the present location by the time I was ready for college. And it had only been open, I think, 3 years when I started there. It started in 1933. And it seemed very, very far out. I didn't have a car, so I took the bus. And I walked down to El Cajon, and then I took the bus, and it went out to near State College, but it didn't. We had to get off the bus on El Cajon and walk. But usually some kind student with an extra space would pick us up at that point, and we'd get a ride the rest of the way. Of course, after I became acquainted, then I got in a carpool. And very few girls had cars. It was mostly the boys. And we paid, I think, $1 a week. And that took care of the gas for them, and oil, and anything else they needed. The first year that I was in a carpool, I rode with a young man who had a car with a rumble seat. And he picked up two people downtown. He lived downtown. We all lived with our families. And then he picked me up. But we had to take turns in the rumble seat, rain or shine. It was mighty uncomfortable when it rained. And we'd get out to school at the time, the first class, whoever had the earliest class, decided what time we'd get picked up. And then we all stayed till the last class. So the library was a place for social visits as well as studying. And it meant that most of us went to school from 8 to 5. Not too many of the girls worked. They worked on weekends, or most of them earned their money just by babysitting. But near all the fellows worked, but they worked after school or on the weekends. There was one dormitory. It was a private residence dormitory, very small. Other than that, nearly every person lived at home, both the fellows and the girls. Very few had apartments or shared a home. So we all became very well acquainted because we were on campus so much. And as a result of being there, we had a lot of activities after school. And sororities were very important. Nearly everyone belonged to one. They were not national sororities, so they were more like clubs. And we would have oftentimes our meetings at the school in the late afternoon. If we didn't, we'd go to one another's homes. But I started at State in 1933, and about 1935 we began to rent rooms in a building in Balboa Park. Both fraternities and sororities did. And we all had our meetings on Monday nights. And it was great fun because we'd go down to what was called the House of Hospitality. and go have our meetings and then socialize afterwards. We never had the Friday beer bus that I know go on now.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, there was really very little drinking, and I suppose the reason was hardly anyone had any money. Most everyone in San Diego that whose family had money went away to school. They went up to USC or UCLA or Stanford. A few went east, but not very many. Some went to Pomona and Scripps, and Redlands was a popular one in those days. If we had a date, we usually brought our date home after our outing and served dessert at home. And of course, we did a lot of double dating in those mm-hmm. days because, again, cars were a problem and expenses. On campus, we had dances and social activities, and they were always in the what is now the women's gym. And we'd have inter-sorority council meetings. We'd meet at Scripps Cottage, which is in a different location. The whole building has been moved from where it was to the present location.
Where was it?
It, well, you know where the outdoor theater is, mm-hmm. there near Aztec Hall. Mm-hmm. You walked a little ways beyond that, and that's where it was. And it had a nice, I have a picture of it here, it had a nice garden around it. And we'd have potluck suppers there, and we'd have all our meetings there. Mm-hmm. AWS meetings, student body council meetings, and small dances sometimes, but most of the dances were in the women's gym. Mm-hmm. And they built this stadium, Aztec Bowl, while I was there. Mm-hmm. And that was very exciting to get to go to a football game on campus, because previously the football games were played down on a baseball field down at the end of Broadway. Right across from where the Star of India is berthed. And there was a field, and later on the Padres used it. I think it was called Lane Field. And 1 year I was on the social committee, and it was our job to go down and decorate the goalposts. And so we'd go down on a Saturday morning, and they had lights there so we could have night games. We'd go down the late afternoon and put colored crepe paper around the goalposts to define each team's goalpost. Sometimes when the fog came in, the paper just melted and you could hardly see it. And in fact, there was more than one occasion where the game had to be called because they couldn't see the length of the fog because of the length of the field because of the fog. So everything was extremely simple. I can even remember that there were two boys that were from out of town, and they had a house that they rented out in Lemon Grove, and they would give big parties out there, but there was no drinking, and they would ask the matron from the college to come out, and she and her husband would be there the whole time, and the girls would bring the dinner. It would be a potluck, and the fellas would provide the cokes and whatever we had to drink. And then we'd play games. My daughters just roll over laughing
that
about
was
this.
Funny.
But we'd play Run Sheep Run and Kick the Can. And there'd be maybe 24 of us or more. And the losing team had to do the dishes.
That's fair.
Yeah. And a bunch of us would go out there and study, too, for tests. One boy was a reader for Dr. Leonard, and he was very, very smart, and so he'd help us through our history tests, because Dr. Leonard was noted as being one of the toughest history professors. And, of course, we went to class. We had excellent teachers. One of my teachers is still living, and she isn't that much older than I am, but at the time, of course, we thought she was very old.
You don't think so anymore, do you?
Yeah, but she still loves to go out there, and I pick her up. She lives not too far from me, and she now has to use a wheelchair, but there's nothing that daunts her, and she's says all the time that those were the best years that State ever knew, because we all knew one another and we all knew our teachers. There were only 1,400 students the year I entered, and at graduation the president called us each by name and personally handed our diplomas to us. We had graduation in the girls' gym, and there was ample room to seat parents and relatives as well as the graduates. I think we studied hard, and we did have very good teachers, and so many in our class went on to be doctors and attorneys and judges and outstanding teachers, and at the end of 2 years, many students stopped college, especially the women, and went to work, because unless they knew they wanted to be a teacher or something that required 4 years of college, they saw no reason to go on. And of course, it was Depression time, and they could get a job with the San Diego Gas and Electric Company or the telephone company for $16 or $18 a week, and that seemed like big money in those days. So out of the women in my sorority, there were that entered what I did as a freshman, there were only four of us that graduated from college. All the rest stopped at the end of 2 years and either got married or went to work. Now, I say we made wonderful friends because I graduated more than 50 years ago, and until the last 20 years when so many have died, there were 12 couples, and all the women had graduated from State, and most of the men. And we got together 5 and 6 times a year for dinner. And as the children arrived, we had the children with us. And every year we went on a picnic to Felicita Park. And every year we had a big picnic at the beach. And then we all used to camp together down at Borrego. Mm-hmm. And we would, especially at Thanksgiving, a group of us would be together there at Thanksgiving Day, and the others would come after Thanksgiving if they felt they should spend time with their families. And we'd have as many as 40 and 50 there eating cold turkey.
Just people that you met
in State. Yeah. But, I have very fond memories of the college, and I think we had an outstanding faculty. And I am happy to see the growth. I think of the library as it was, very small. I did go up to Stanford to get my master's degree, and I was overwhelmed with the library and hadn't realized that we didn't have much more. I'm glad to see the marvelous library we have now. I've been very interested in it, and I've been on the board of the Friends of the Library out there and active with that group for many, many years. And I've been on the board of the Friends of the Classics, and I'm very active in that. And so I belong to Mortar Board, and a number of the women that were in college with me are still active in that, and we have a wonderful time going to their meetings and learning what's going on at the college. My husband graduated from San Diego State. I met him when I was a senior, or started dating him. Of course, I met him because we were in Skull and Dagger together and several other organizations. And our three daughters all went to State, two graduated from there. And they were all happy out there and are proud of the good educations they received. So I hope someday some of my grandchildren will be students there.
It's a lot different from when you was graduating, you know.
Yeah.
A lot.
So now, is there anything else you'd
There's
like?
A lot more, so I'm like. Okay, you've told me a lot. It's a lot of your memories, just such a wonderful memories. What is your most vivid memory from the time you were at San Diego State?
I think when I was tapped for cap and gown, it was such an honor in those days. And you know, one of my daughters was tapped for cap and gown when she was a student, but because of the size of the college, not that many people knew what cap and gown was. But when I went there, everyone knew what it was. And a senior member of the organization would come into your classroom and be in a cap and gown and come over and tap you on the shoulder. Of course, she would have told the professor ahead what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he would congratulate you, and everyone in the class knew about it. And then at noon, you all went into the cafeteria for lunch. And the cafeteria is where the faculty lounge is now. Mm-hmm. And the faculty had tables in the first part of the cafeteria, and then the students used the other part. Of course, again, because of expenses, 3/4 of the students took their lunch to school. Mm-hmm. And but there were two men, Andy and Clarence, that ran the caf, and they knew everyone. They'd help fellas if they needed money to get through another semester, things like that. And as you walked through the faculty lounge, all the faculty clapped for you. And that was a very special day in my memory.
So I don't understand what that is, cap and gown.
Oh, well, you know mortar board.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we didn't have mortar board. We had cap and gown.
Yeah.
And then we joined. Mortar board came on campus, and so all the cap and gown members then, but of course I graduated, but I joined mortar board. We had that opportunity.
Yeah.
So we were a real close group. Now my daughter, we met, we met once a week, but once a month we had a potluck at Scripps Cottage. But when my daughter joined, the only time they could meet was at 6 o'clock in the morning, because That was the only time because girls worked, girls had early classes. That was the only time they could find that everyone was free. Well, as a result, it was a little difficult to have a 100% turnout. But when I was there, we did have a 100% turnout a lot of time. We did a lot of wonderful things for the college. And those friends are still my friends. And I see them frequently.
Okay, today as a student, our worst problem is the shortage of classes at San Diego State. What was the main concern of the students when you attended?
You know, registration was a problem. And I look back and I think how frustrated we were, and I can't understand why in the last 50 years since I was a student they haven't settled that. But that was a trauma. But there was one class that I never could get, and it was philosophy. And they wavered that so that I could graduate. And I recall that whoever wavered it said, well, if you can, come back and take it in summer school because it's so important. And I did. I graduated in June, but I went back that summer and took philosophy. But as I recall, that was the only problem I ever had, getting a class that I needed or even wanted.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel, you said different things about money being a problem. Was money a problem as far as your tuition was concerned, or was it just for social fun?
My parents paid my tuition, which was so small, looking back. But yes, tuition was a problem for some students. And I'm sure some of them got loans, personal loans. But I think, and you'd have to look this up, I think tuition a semester was only something like $28.
It was very low.
Yeah, very low.
We got, I wish I would have gone with me. It was started out like in 1930. It was really low. Really
eight,
like
18.
Lower. It was really low. And then by the time the school had moved to its location now, it had gone up a lot compared to what it was. But still, it was so low.
You know, I don't. My parents weren't well off because I probably would have gone away to school. I had a half sister that went to the University of Arizona, and I had looked forward to going there too, or going away at least. But by that time, my parents, the depression had come, and they said, "Well, go to state 2 years and." I'll see about sending you away, but I wouldn't have been torn away from state for anything after 2 years. So for me and most of my friends, tuition wasn't a problem. My parents paid it. But then, and I had a small allowance, but I know I took my lunch. I've never smoked, and I think one reason was that cigarettes were maybe 15 cents a package, maybe not that much, but to me, I thought, oh gee, for 15 cents, and add another 15 cents, I can do something better, and or something I wanted more. Cokes were 5 cents, and many a day I didn't go in and have a Coke, because I did babysit, and the going wage was 25 cents for an afternoon and 50 cents for an evening. And if I stayed after midnight, I demanded 75 cents.
Oh,
my gosh.
So you can see how just nickels and 15 cents made.
How much did your books cost you?
They weren't expensive. I'm sure they were sometimes like $3 and $5 and maybe a history book. I think maybe a history book was $5 or $6. That was always our biggest, heaviest book. And we didn't buy all that many books. And of course, you tried to get them secondhand. And you know, nowadays you need books, but I guess they just didn't. We had a reading list that we used. Went to the library, and of course the supply at the library wasn't that great. So as soon as the reading list came out, you rushed over to get the books, or you had to wait. But I recall that you tried to get a secondhand book if possible to save money, but I don't think books were compared to nowadays. I mean, you say, well, people make more money and all that, but I think the price of books is amazing compared to the price in those days.
My brother, who's a math major, his books are $50 a book. You know, it's ridiculous, really.
Well, I mean, this is off the subject, but when I go to buy children's books, and that's, I just love books, and I seldom give my grandchildren clothing. So, you know, I do buy some toys, but not a lot, but I buy books. Mm-hmm. And I'll go into a bookstore, and I'll pick out a few, maybe just 3 books for the little children, 2, 4, 6, 8 years old. And when I go and pay, they cost, you know, $35 for the 3 or 4 books I bought. And sometimes I look at a book and it attracts me, and I go through it, and then I check the price and I don't buy it. So I think books are very, very expensive.
But it's better spending the money on something like that than, like you say, cigarettes or whatever.
Right. So. And all my grandchildren really enjoy books. And in fact, the little 5-year-old, for Christmas, Gail took her to Santa Claus, and she was so surprised. He said, "What do you want?" She said, "Books." And he said, "What else?" She says, "That's all, just lots of books."
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good sign.
And of course, now they could go to the library and get such wonderful books, too.
Yeah. Okay. You were born in San Diego?
Yes.
And raised in San Diego?
Yes.
What was that like?
Well, you know, at the time, of course, I thought it was a big city. We took a vacation every summer, and I remember I've been to Los Angeles a couple of times, but I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old, and we went to San Francisco, and I was just overwhelmed. We drove along the harbor there. In those days, it was filled with merchant marine boats. And I had thought San Diego Harbor was big and exciting until I saw that. But I lived in a neighborhood where there were many families, and we children all played together. John Butler, who graduated from State the year before I did and was a little All-American at State and later became mayor of San Diego, lived in the next block. And his sister and I and John and all the other kids in the neighborhood would play together. But our parents had a loose set of rules. But all the parents subscribed to the same rules. So we knew in the summertime we could play out till maybe 9 o'clock. But the first call meant all of you go out now home to your homes. Our parents certainly didn't have the worries that my children have about their children now. We lived a half a block from a beautiful park called Mission Cliff Gardens, which is no longer in existence. But Spreckles built a streetcar line, and he established this park. And the streetcar line went past the college, the old normal school, and stopped at the park. And, they had an ostrich farm there, and they had some deer and peacocks, and they had a tea